So let's look at James. We're going verse by verse through this book, and it's been a few weeks as we've been in this book. And we're going to look at wisdom, and wisdom from above. But first, let's look at James. So Hebrews, we preach through Hebrews. Hebrews motivates believers into maturity. James marks it. So there are five tests in the book of James to really tell if you are a mature or maturing believer. How do you do with these tests? The first test is in chapter number 1. A mature believer is one who is patient in testing. How many of y'all failed so far? All right. Patient in testing. Someone who is patient in testing is on trials when it comes from the outside. How do you do? And then temptations on the inside. What do you do? First test is being patient in testing. And then chapter 2 goes further. Not just patient in testing, but the second mark of a mature believer is someone who practices the truth. First, with faith and love. You don't just say you love somebody, you show that you love somebody. And then it's faith and works. You don't just say you believe, you show you believe. And by the way, it's not faith plus works, it's a faith that works. It's not just saying it, it's showing our faith. Now we come to the third test, all right? Now, by the way, this is not just so you'll pass or fail. These are areas that let us know what we need to work on. When you bring your car or truck to the auto body shop, you get a test, and the test isn't to prove that we'll fail. It's to show you what needs work, and so what needs replacing or what needs guidance in the area of your life. And so here, this third mark, this third test is in chapter 3. The third test is whether or not you have power over your tongue. It's what you say. If you want to know the fourth and the fifth test, you just need to keep coming on back. But so we're still on the third test, all right? The third test, now that we looked at the tongue and what it meant to have power in the tongue and the illustrations of the tongue and how important it was, here's some applications of the tongue. Really, do you speak with wisdom? Do you have wisdom when you speak? I think of that lady in Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Listen, the word kindness there is the Old Testament equivalent of the New Testament word for grace. It's the word chassid. It speaks of this. When this is someone, she is someone who when she opens her mouth, she has a law in her tongue. She makes it a rule that whatever comes out of her mouth is kind. Put it this way. Grace is not getting, mercy is not getting what we deserve, right? What's grace? It's getting what we don't deserve. And so someone who opens their mouth with wisdom has as a rule that whatever comes out of their mouth gives to people what they don't deserve. I don't know about you, but I need help with that, don't you? I've not arrived, as Apostle Paul said, I've not yet apprehended. Forget those things which are behind us, press on to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Let's open our mouth with wisdom. Let's make it a rule. How many times do we just tell people what's on our mind? Listen, today, it's time to stop giving people a piece of our mind and start giving our heart to others. Amen. Let's open our mouth with kindness. Let's make sure it's a rule. This is a mark of a mature believer. When we give out, what comes out of our mouth is not what people deserve, but what they don't deserve. Oh, I think about the Lord Jesus Christ as he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They didn't deserve that. And so as we're growing in Christ here, James, the half-brother of Jesus, knew what perfection looked like. He grew up with Jesus. Can you imagine growing up with Jesus as your half-brother? I know what it's like growing up with my brother. In fact, I put it this way. My brother knows what it was like to grow up with me. And quite often, with family, you just tell them what you think. No filter. You just give it to them. No grace. You just have at it. Listen, Jesus never did that. He opened his mouth with wisdom. He opened his mouth with a rule of grace. So as you look here on wisdom as it applies to the tongue, you understand that wisdom is something that God offers you as a believer. If you're not walking in wisdom today, you're walking beneath your privileges as a born-again, blood-bought child of God. God offers you wisdom. 234 times in the Bible, we find the word wisdom. It's first mentioned, listen to this, this is interesting. It's first mentioned in Exodus 28, verse 3. And it's not where we would imagine wisdom to be applied. But it's when Aaron's garments, his clothes, had to be made. God told Moses in Exodus 28, verse 3, "And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." He said, I'm going to give to those with wise hearts a special endued wisdom to make garments. Then he go further. The second time it's mentioned is Exodus 31, verse 3, and then Exodus 35, verse 31. Again, these are areas that we don't necessarily think of when we think of wisdom. It's Bezalel. Do you remember him? Bezalel, the word of God says, was filled with the Spirit of God. So here's Bezalel, filled with the Holy Ghost. What happens? Miracles, mighty works of God, parting of the Red Sea? No. Bezalel was filled with the spirit and wisdom and understanding and knowledge and in manner of workmanship. Bezalel was one filled with the spirit and filled with the wisdom to do the work for God, to construct the tabernacle. Hey, listen, God had to supernaturally fill tailors in the Old Testament to make clothes. God had to supernaturally fill construction workers to build the tabernacle. How much more does God need to fill you and I with what we speak, what we say, and what we do? We need wisdom. God told Bezalel, I'm going to put in the hearts of all the wise-hearted wisdom. Those that are seeking toward wisdom, I'm going to pour into them wisdom that they may make all that I have commanded thee. That just tells me right from the start of the Word of God, we need wisdom. Don't you like that song, I can't even walk without him holding my hand. I need wisdom to work. I need wisdom to serve. I need wisdom to lead my family. I need wisdom to lead this church. You need wisdom as you go to work, as you serve, as you live for God, as you do anything. It doesn't matter what you're doing or where you're at. You need wisdom that comes from above. Not the wisdom that you're operating from beneath. And brother, I thank you so much for being here today. This is providential because wisdom from beneath will tell your young person, hey, you just work at whatever convenient job you can find to make the most money. That's wisdom from beneath. But a wisdom from above is a parent that gets a hold of the young person like Abraham and brings them to the altar and surrenders them to the Lord and say, listen, I want you to do whatever God wants in your life. Whatever it may be, wherever we may go, I want you to do what God wants you to do. By the way, the safest place is in the center of the will of God. That's wisdom. Wisdom from beneath is the American dream, but that's an American nightmare if you're operating apart from the wisdom of God. You understand, tonight, this morning, we need wisdom. We'll look at a few other verses before we get to the text. Exodus 35:35, wisdom of heart. So it's the heart, the center of the mind, emotion, and will. It's your decision-making process. Proverbs 3:21, it's sound wisdom. Proverbs 4:11, it's the way of wisdom. Proverbs 8:11, wisdom is better than rubies and things that may be desired or not to be compared to it. Proverbs 16:16 is better than gold. Ecclesiastes 9:16 is better than strength. Ecclesiastes 9:18 is better than weapons of war. Moses had wisdom. Joshua had wisdom. Deuteronomy 34, verse 9, Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. David had wisdom. 2 Samuel 14, 20, it said of David, my Lord is wise according to the wisdom of an angel of God, to know all things that are in the earth. Solomon requested and received wisdom. Daniel was a man of wisdom. Proverbs 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. Proverbs 13, verse 10. With a well-advised is wisdom. Luke 2, verse 40. Jesus was filled with wisdom. Luke 2, 52. Jesus increased with wisdom. Hey, do you see a pattern here? If you can't even construct, if you can't make clothes, if you can't walk and live, if Jesus himself submitted himself to be filled with wisdom, and this boggles my mind, be increased in wisdom, how much more do we? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. And that's what I'm praying for. And God gives unto each one of us, those that are wise-hearted, those that are seeking after wisdom. God, fill us with His Spirit and wisdom. And for the rest of our lives, every day, we go to Him in prayer and we receive that wisdom. Our theme this year is pray. Let's apply it towards wisdom. So James chapter 3, let's read it, let's walk through it, and we'll close with application of it. Look at verse number 33, so verse 13. So what is wisdom? How do we get this wisdom? What does it look like? Verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Look at verse number 17. A wisdom that is from above. Now get this. We're going to see a contrast in the text. There's a wisdom from above and the wisdom from beneath. We're going to see the difference between the two. We're going to see how we can distinguish it, and we're going to see how we receive it. So first of all, what is wisdom? James asked the question. This wisdom is from above. Verse number 13, it is something that is endued. Look at verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? James speaks of wisdom, not as something that you can gain, but as something that you receive. It's not that you achieve wisdom, you receive wisdom. He defines it as someone who has been endued and empowered with knowledge. Wisdom comes from God. Wisdom is a working knowledge or knowledge well applied. It's an application of knowledge. Look at it like this. Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit, right? How many of y'all know that? And if you didn't, you just learned it. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. Does that make sense to you? So there's knowledge and then there's wisdom. So knowledge, because a lot of people don't know a lot of things. They just don't have wisdom. It's not intelligence. It's different. It's knowledge stamped to the heart. It's the right application of knowledge. That's wisdom. I like this definition. Wisdom is the ability to handle what life hands me in a way that honors God. Wow, I need wisdom. It's the ability to handle what life hands me in a way that honors God. J.I. Packer, in his book, Knowing God, wrote this about wisdom. Wisdom is the power to see in the inclination to choose the best and highest goal together with the surest means of attaining it. A wise man is someone who is endued with knowledge, a supernatural knowledge, a supernatural application of that knowledge, supplied with strength to make right and good decisions. We're not speaking about intelligence. Do you realize this morning you don't have to be in the who's who to know what's what? You can have more degrees than a thermometer and still not be hot with wisdom. You know what I'm talking about? This morning, wisdom is knowledge well applied. Hey, there are wise guys, and then there are those who are filled with wisdom. Proverbs 16, verse 20, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. The academic can live in a library and become a scholar. The artisan can live in a laboratory and become a craftsman. But there's no library of human possession or laboratory of human invention that can ever give us the ability to handle a matter wisely and discover happiness apart from God. The Lord giveth wisdom. Wisdom is when we go to the Word. Wisdom is what we do glean from others. Wisdom is what we get from God. It's not age. It's not accumulation of data. It's the active daily pursuit of what He alone can give. And when He gives to those with hearts that seek after that, it's wisdom defined. Number two, wisdom display. Look at this display. The text goes on, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. The word conversation here is more than what we say. It's our way of life. You can observe wisdom in one's actions and then in your attitude. So let's look at this. How do you line up to this? First, Proverbs 11, verse 2 says this, but with the lowly, there is wisdom. One with wisdom is someone who is lowly and humble. You know, I'm very thankful for many here in this church. And I could point out some wise guys, don't get it. I could point out some men with wisdom. Men and women of wisdom, by the way. Much wisdom the Lord gives to women to serve and to share. And, you know, you shared about these ladies going out on the mission field. That's a wonderful thing. You know, I think we ought to have both go all out. You know, I think about all the missionary ladies that serve the Lord. You know, do you understand, listen, that God wants to give us wisdom. God wants us to use wisdom in our life. And I can point out this morning, men and women, boys and girls that are filled with wisdom. My dad isn't here, so I can embarrass him, but he's a man who models wisdom. There are a few that I can go to for advice, and there are those that want to give advice, but those that are humble and lowly are the ones where I go to for advice. Very few people. There are very few people in this world. There are those that think they have wisdom, think they have all this knowledge. They may have a lot of knowledge, but they don't have wisdom. Early on in ministry, I understood this. I was a young pastor. I guess I sort of still am. I've been pastoring here for almost 11 years. But I remember when I first started 18 years ago working in camp ministry. And later on, I would go to people. And you understand that a lot of times young preachers, older preachers want to go and just give a bunch of advice. And I've learned to understand, and pretty quickly, when I could find the ones that had wisdom and those that didn't. The ones that had worldly wisdom were the arrogant know-it-alls. You've met someone like that? You're around them and they think they're always talking and they're always just sharing their opinion. They're just giving you a piece of their mind. I learned pretty quickly, just because they've got the confidence and the boldness to share what's on their mind, they may not have a lot of wisdom, but it's those that are humble. It may not be the ones that share a lot at first, but when they speak, when they open their mouth, there's wisdom. And you can see that. Wisdom displayed is humility. Look at wisdom described in the text. Two types of wisdom. One wisdom is from above and the other is from beneath. Think of John Bunyan's allegory, Pilgrim's Progress. There's a character in that book called Mr. Worldly Wiseman. How many of y'all read Pilgrim's Progress? It's a tough read. I think there's some easier ones you can find out there, but there's a good parallel allegory to the Christian life. There's a man named Mr. Worldly Wiseman. We didn't have a TV growing up. We had a monitor that my parents would show, like, the Ten Commandments and the Pilgrim's Progress. So this is pretty much Sheffy, I think. That's all we had growing up. But Pilgrim's Progress was a big one. And there's Mr. Worldly Wiseman. I still remember Mr. Worldly Wiseman. The evangelist points Pilgrim to the wicket gate, and Mr. Worldly Wiseman comes from a town of carnal policy. Sounds familiar? Worldly Wiseman notices the burden on Pilgrim's back, and he said, "Listen to me. I will give you counsel, Christian, if it be good. For I stand in need of counsel," Christian said. Worldly Wiseman said, "Hear me, I am older than thou." Now, usually you can find out someone who doesn't have wisdom of what they say with that. "I'm older than you are. Listen to me." He says, "Go to Mr. Legality and Mr. Civility. They'll take care of your problem. Don't read that book," which is the Bible. Mr. Evangelist is wrong. And he says, "Take the easy path. Take the path of friendship, content. Think of your family. Hey, listen, this is providential today, because worldly wisdom will say, hey, don't surrender the mission field. Don't go to that area. Don't take the easy path. Take what you will bring you the most money." That's wisdom from this world. James chapter 3, verse 14. "If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For envying and strife is there confusion in every evil work." Bitter envying. It's dog eat dog world. Aggressive, arrogant ambition. Let me tell you, friends, we in America especially need to be very careful about this. We have to be careful as we get this idea that, hey, listen, we just need to work in such a way where I'm making and you're not, and listen, I'm right, you're wrong, it's me first. Strife, selfishness, pride, contention, personal glory, personal attention, always arguing. It's not wisdom from above, that's wisdom from beneath. There's an air of arrogance to that sort of wisdom. It's not from God. The thought is emptiness. And there's a wisdom from above. Here's how you know when you have wisdom and when others have wisdom. Look at verse number 17. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure." The word there is holy. The world's wisdom is pragmatic, idealistic, realistic, naturalistic. Wisdom from above is holy. No ulterior motives, no personal ambition or manipulation. It's pure. And then it's peaceable, not angry or argumentative. Hey, let me just learn you a thing or two. Let me tell you what's up. Knowledge is learning something every day. Wisdom is letting go of something every day. It's saying, I'm going to serve and I'm going to love. It's peaceable. Gentle. We could say pleasant. You know, most men today especially wouldn't want to be called gentle. Do you realize that's the basis of the word gentleman? If you're not gentle, you're not a gentleman. We live in a strange culture today. Easy to be entreated. We could say polite. It means approachable. Persuasive, not stubborn, stuck up, not rude, crude, and socially unacceptable. Knowledge speaks, wisdom listens. Filled with mercy and goodness. This is Jesus, by the way. This is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pity, do you show mercy? Do you give second chances or do you sign somebody off? Jesus never writes anybody off. Without partiality, wisdom doesn't play favorites, have cliques, or treat people differently. Without hypocrisy, it's principled. You live by what you say. This wisdom, listen, the wisdom is from beneath, results in confusion in every evil work. You wonder why our political parties are at conflict. You wonder why there's wars and there's confusion all around this world and there's chaos. It's because people are operating from wisdom that's from the devil. And the devil's out to steal, kill, and destroy. Hey, there's a wonder why marriages are falling apart. There's a wonder why there's conflict in homes and in workplaces because we're operating from a wisdom that's from beneath. And yes, it feels good, like sin feels good for a season. But the end there was the way of death. It's about time we seek the wisdom from God. This is not weakness. It's meekness. It's strength under control. It's being filled with the Spirit of God to make right decisions at home and at work. We need some wisdom. If there's anything Washington, D.C. needs today, it's wisdom from above. If there's anything that churches need today, it's wisdom from above. If there's anything that families need today, it's wisdom from above. If there's anything that employers or employees need today, it's wisdom from above. See, knowledge is knowing what to say. Wisdom is knowing when to say it. This third test, the test of the tongue, is do you open your mouth with wisdom? And is what comes out of your mouth or through your fingers typing today? Is it kind? And finally, wisdom desired. How do you get this wisdom? Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Turn back to 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and we'll be done. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to the altar. Ask for this in your life. If this morning, if I were to say, listen, if you were to come to the altar and ask for one thing and you knew God would give it, what would you ask for? Would you ask for money? Would you ask for good health? What would it be? Solomon was summoned in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 in verse number 7. In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon says in verse 10, give me now wisdom and knowledge. Solomon was a young man, 2 Chronicles 1 verse 11. And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of thine enemies, neither hast thou asked long life, but asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor. And I love how Ryan was sharing earlier this year about how David was pouring that into his son, giving him that instruction, guiding him along the way, and Solomon was trained to do this. Oh, what if we could just be parents? It's providential, brother. This wasn't planned, it's providential. Parents to train our kids to ask for wisdom. Amen. Hey, I understand it's not on the front of my mind for any of my six kids to suffer martyrdom in some faraway place. I understand that. But do you realize that your children will never even possibly get to the point of the other areas of honor, wealth, riches, or life if you don't train them to ask for wisdom from God? Amen. Train them to seek God's word. Train them to seek supernatural knowledge. As David poured into Solomon, The Bible says Solomon received wisdom, understanding, exceeding much in largeness of heart. I believe it's time for us to go to the Lord. As parents, as people of God, and ask for wisdom. Let's close with this. How do you get this wisdom? Well, let me encourage you with some practical steps. Number one, first thing you're going to do is go to the book of Proverbs every single day. Proverbs is the book of wisdom. Almost every proverb speaks of wisdom. Proverbs is such a simple book in the sense that whatever the day of the month is, there's 31 proverbs. At the most, you have what? 31 days in a month. So find the proverb of the month, proverb of the day, rather. Today is the 19th, right? And read and meditate on Proverbs 19. Now, this is a good start. In fact, this is how I started my Bible study in my life. This is how my roommate showed me how to grow in Christ. It's a good start. It's a good place for wisdom. But read the proverb of the month. If you miss a day, just find the next day. The few days you miss, Proverbs 21, find Proverbs. Read that and meditate upon it. You'll receive wisdom from the Word. Number two, find people around you that evidence, not worldly wisdom, not wisdom from beneath, but wisdom from above. Those that walk with wise men shall be wise. Find people and just pick their brains. You can borrow brains, you can't borrow character. But I'm telling you, you can ask them, what would you do in this situation? I've got several people on speed dial. I call them and I ask them. Now, they may not have all the same answers, but usually I can get some good counsel. And the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Find people with wisdom. And then finally, most importantly, go to God every day and ask for wisdom. There's two things you can ask for in the Lord every day, and that's the filling of the Holy Spirit. Ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit, then ask for wisdom. Hey, maybe some dads today as you are leading your homes, and maybe some moms as you are training your children just need to stop what you're doing and stop operating wisdom from beneath as envy and strife and just get before the Lord and say, Lord, I need your wisdom to do what I need to do. Just pause wherever you're at. Just stop what you're doing at work and whatever's happening in front of you. Instead of rushing in and having the strife and confusion and evil work and things from beneath, just go to God and say, Lord, I need your wisdom. Practice it this week. Monday through Friday, this afternoon, when you're coming up to something and you're wondering what to do and where to go, just ask for wisdom. Go to His Word. Go to others that have wisdom and ask for it. And watch what God does as we receive wisdom from above.